My name is Alex Dixon. I am located in Dubuque, Iowa. I am just to kind of give you a little bit of a background. I am born and raised in Las Vegas, Nevada. I went to Howard University in Washington, D.C. But while I was in high school and growing up, I was active in a lot of sports. I participated in student council. And I say my favorite job in life was I was a student body president at Durango High School in Las Vegas. And so what was neat about that job and that opportunity really was it was a great way to bring people together from all different backgrounds and walks of life. And so we would host these big activities and events on campus. And I would joke with people, we would bring all the jocks and the geeks and the freaks and everybody who sat at all the different tables in the lunchroom together. And we would talk about what was going on at school. And so that really is the anchor of my, let's call it, professional career. And what I joke with people is that I've been trying to chase that job ever since I became an adult. And so to that end, after graduating from Durango High School, I went to Howard University in Washington, D.C., and I went to what's called a historically black college or university. Howard was founded right after the Civil War in the United States when things were segregated within our country. And General Oliver Otis Howard, who was a general in the Union Army, went and founded a university. And so I had the privilege of attending there in between the years of 1999 and 2003. And going to school in DC was a great place because it afforded me the opportunity to intern on Capitol Hill, as well as be able to be exposed to Wall Street in the world of finance. And it was while I was at Howard where I did my first internship with J.P. Morgan, and then later with Goldman Sachs. And Goldman Sachs is a Wall Street investment firm that helps companies meet their needs of raising capital or using the financial markets to help them to achieve what it is that they want to do. So I started there in 2003 in New York City, right out of college. But then I had an opportunity to move to London, United Kingdom. And I help companies within the oil and gas space in Europe, Middle East, and North Africa raise money for the initiatives that they wanted to do. But while I was there, I had made a commitment to move to Los Angeles as an analyst. I loved it when it was in Europe. I learned a lot about different parts of the world, but I finished up my career as an analyst with Goldman Sachs in the Los Angeles office, where we advise companies who were raising capital within the media and entertainment space. Well, in this case, it was Disney, and they were buying Pixar. So we're all very familiar with, you know, likely Toy Story and Cars and Finding Nemo. Well, at the time, Disney had a relationship with Pixar, but they wanted to formalize that and actually acquire. So this was a big deal between Bob Iger, who was the CEO of Disney at the time, and Steve Jobs, the late founder of Apple. And so it was an amazing time and experience in my life to be able to learn the media and entertainment and digital space up close and personal. But while I was there, I met my now wife, and we moved to Las Vegas, and we were raising a family or starting a family. And I started working at a boutique investment bank, again, where we were raising capital for people who wanted to develop big master plan residential communities. Or in other cases, a lot of these wealthy landowners also wanted to build casinos. And so when I met a general manager who was at the casino team, I said, that's what I kind of want to be when I grow up. But as I reflect, in many cases, I wanted to be that because that job or that career path was a lot like what my time was as a student body president in high school. I now, and I'll take you a little bit further along the story, but really the job of a hospitality is we throw a party every day of the week. We need to make sure that people have fun, that you know their place is safe, that they're engaged, that they leave happier going out than when they came in. And so We play a lot of fun and games, and my job as now a CEO, but previously as a general manager and a president, was to do that, help set the framework for all the people who work on the team, our employees. And our employees is just like high school. And as a president and CEO and general manager, I'm kind of part principal, part counselor, part coach, part cheerleader, part on the team, you know, making sure that everything gets cleaned up at the end of the night. And so in many ways, this job mimics what I first was doing. And that's why I'm excited about it. I'm happy about it. And so it's not work if you're having fun. But all that said, I was in Las Vegas. I then went to work within Caesars Entertainment. And so I needed to take the step from being in finance to going to working for a company who ultimately did what it is that I wanted it and aspired to be. So I started out as a director of planning and analysis in Las Vegas, but then I quickly realized that sometimes in life, you have to go out in order to go up. And in this case, I eventually moved to Baltimore, Maryland. I became an assistant general manager for a new casino that was gonna be opening up within the state. I took on the role as the number two on property and spent 2 years developing the asset and then 2 years operating and running it. And so we hired 2,200 people from the city of Baltimore, and it was an amazing experience. We were right next to the Camden Yards where the Orioles play, and then M&T Bank Stadium where the NFL Ravens played football. So we did a lot of activities to activate the part of town where we were in Baltimore. But then I had an opportunity to move to Springfield, Massachusetts in the Northeast, and moved up to Massachusetts to do it all over again. And so we were building a billion-dollar development right in downtown Massachusetts. We hired 3,000 employees, and there I had the great opportunity to help manage a small arena that had 8,000 seats. We did minor league hockey. We would host big concerts like Stevie Wonder performed during our opening weekend. And then again, we opened up a casino. But unfortunately, my time was going to come there to an end. In the world of corporate, sometimes, you know, your role gets eliminated. And that was what was going to take place in this instance. And so we had to move our family, very fortunately, and landed as a role and got promoted to be the president and chief operating officer at Circus Circus in Las Vegas. It was a 3,300 room resort and casino. This got me back to Las Vegas on the strip where I grew up and was inspired by all these big developments. And here I was at 38 or so, had the opportunity to lead one of these big resorts. And it was the 11th largest hotel in North America. As fate would have it, MGM decided to sell Circus Circus. So here I was, where I thought I would be back at home, back in a place of comfort. Things were shaken up again, and I had the literally responsibility to figure out what was next for our family. And so I decided to stay in Las Vegas, and I took on a role leading a company called Brady Linen, which was a part of the Pierstar family, and it was a commercial laundry facility. We had about 1,200 employees. And then the unthinkable happened. It was something called COVID. I said, hey, and what's the worst thing can happen in laundry? There's always dirty laundry. But when COVID happened, literally all of Las Vegas shut down. And so we went from thousands of employees to literally a couple of dozen. And it was a very difficult time. But eventually Las Vegas came back. We went from a couple of dozen back up to a couple of thousand. And then I eventually got a call from Dubuque, Iowa. And for those who are logging in internationally, Iowa is a Midwestern state in the middle of the country that is quite possibly the most opposite from Las Vegas, Nevada. But our family, my oldest now is a sophomore in high school. The twins are eighth graders. And we moved our family here 3 months ago. We are bracing for winter after being in the desert for a long time, but I took the role as CEO and president of the Q Casino and the Dubuque Racing Association. And so just a minute on DRA, and then I'll open it up for questions. Here is the Dubuque Racing Association is a nonprofit casino. We are owned by the city of Dubuque, and we give half of our profits back to the city. And then the other half we give to local nonprofits within the community. And so this really married my love of business as well as nonprofits. And so I know that's an extended and long-winded answer, but hopefully that gives you a sense of my story and where I land today. And so with that, maybe Ralph,
yeah, feel free to fire absolutely away. And that led me to one of my first questions. One of the students had a question about philanthropy, and I know that you had worked with nonprofits, but you were a trailblazer at Durango High, right?
Literally.
I know, that was their mascot. I taught elementary at Marion Earle Elementary right next to. So did you go to Marion Earle or did you go to another elementary?
I spent 5 years at Marion Earle Elementary. I did not
know. I was the teacher at your elementary school. I taught fifth grade at your elementary school. How ironic, but small world. So one of the students wants to know is how is the importance of philanthropy in the world of business? Are there any similarities or differences that you can mention?
No. So first off, there is no difference between philanthropy and business. You know, when people think of, okay, hey, I'm now a CEO of a company that is organized as a nonprofit. And so in some ways, you know, I consider myself a philanthropist, but I call myself a compassionate capitalist. And so in this instance, you can organize a philanthropy or you can organize a mission-driven organization, which we do in this case, where we make a lot of money. We generate what we call net income, and that is a business. And I lead a business that produces net income. The difference between a for-profit entity and a nonprofit is that in for-profit, that money that we generate as a business then goes to an individual or a private owner. And so then that money that's generated by the business becomes profit when it gets distributed to someone who owns the business. In this case, our business, we produce a net income, but that money goes now back to the city itself, which is represented by the people, or it goes to other local nonprofits. And so generally, when you take distributions from a business, it then gets taxed by a federal government, and that for-profit entity pays taxes. In this case, we generate profits, but because we're not distributing it to anyone, we don't pay any federal taxes or even local taxes, but we are giving this money back to a local group. And so what I think is important is a lot of times people say, hey, I want to be a philanthropist or I want to give money or I want to start a nonprofit, but they don't necessarily think about, okay, what business am I going to be in order to give those profits away? And so just because you work in the nonprofit space doesn't mean that you can't make a profit. It just means that you can't distribute that profit to a private individual. You can make a lot of money and do really well and do good for the community. And that's what excited me about this job and why I decided to move the family from Nevada in a comfortable place where we loved it to Iowa, because I can marry my love of business as well as philanthropy.
That sounds wonderful. We have we have some student questions from Italy. We'll let Mev go first. She is a student in Italy and she had a question about your personal and professional life being influenced. So go ahead, Mev. You can ask.
Hello, Sir Dixon. Nice to meet you. I would like to know how have all those important people you met in life helped you on your professional path.
Okay, you got it. Yeah.
Thank you.
No, I got the gist of it. Thank you, Mev. And I've only been to Italy once, or actually maybe twice, to Rome, and it was amazing. And actually, still keep in touch with a very good friend who is from Italy, from Trieste. She was an exchange student in California, but we've kept in touch over the number of years. And so, greetings to all my Italian friends. And so, to your question of those people important in my life and how they've impacted my personal and professional career. And so while I didn't know Ralph, when he was a teacher there at Marion Earle Elementary, I have kept in touch with a lot of my teachers throughout my educational career, whether that be from literally preschool when I was two, all the way up to my college professors. And so I'm a big believer that life is about the books you read and the people you meet. And so I'm a big picture taker. I love kind of capturing images, because as I moved around the world, the only thing I really kind of value and treasure to take along there are all the different experiences. And those experiences are, in my view, caught through, whether it's in now video or pictures. And so some of my most treasured pictures that I've taken are of the teachers who have been exposed, who've we've had spent time together or learned from one another. I think about some of the key people in my life, whether it's Carol Henley, who was a professor of mine in college, who helped expose me to the world of Wall Street, or my first grade teacher, who really, Ms. Auerbach, who really helped me to really focus and not only learn to read, but to use reading to learn. And those are two different kind of components. And so, really, I think about all the people who've impacted my life, and my success has really been an amalgamation or a collection of experiences that have been introduced and impacted by teachers throughout my life.
That's great advice. And I know you have very little amount of time, but before we let you go, is there any advice that you could give to these kids all around the world and across America who are on here right now? I know that you've made the Marion Earl Eagles proud and the Durango Trailblazers proud as a fellow Nevadan. Thank you. I can't thank you enough. But what kind of advice would you give to all these kids as they go off into the world and kind of figure out who they want to become as somebody as accomplished as yourself?
No. I think the couple pieces of advice. Number one is really having a good understanding, let's say, kind of who you are and what your strengths are in life. And many times, I'm an eternal optimist. And so as I've grown up and matured, I've quite realized that I'm going to go through many different phases of my life, whether that be being a child, a young adult, being now a father and a provider, but then ultimately kind of being able to add to the professional world. And so it's take advantage of every experience that you have along the way to get the most out of it and realize that you are more than enough. And so to achieve the goals that you have, there are some things that you're going to have to pick up greater skills, but as long as you have the will and you have the desire, the skill is going to come, because in life, sometimes there are some things that can be treated as a pop quiz, meaning you have to have the knowledge, let's say, of what's going on around you at any given time, and you need to be able to exhibit that. And in other cases, your life presents itself as more of a research paper. And research papers take time, where you have a beginning, a middle, and an end. And so what I realize is that I'm best at research papers. So I take a career that is going to help me go along a pathway where I can take a broad perspective and then articulate and tell a story, where some people are great at being pop quiz. They're great at being present. They know exactly what's going on, and they pursue a career or they pursue a path that allows them to do just that. And so in life, sometimes there's going to be two different paths. And what I would encourage everyone to do is to say, hey, what am I really good at? What can I kind of exhibit? And let me really focus in on those strengths and really develop those things. And then let me develop resources around the things that I'm not great at or not good at. And so if you recognize those things, you really can say, I can achieve anything I want to in life as long as I have the will. I attain the skills to help me get there, but recognize that the things that I'm good at can take me to where it is that I need to be. And so I think it's be confident within yourself, learn to read, learn to communicate, learn to tell stories, and then learn to present that information in whatever format that may be, whether that's the written word, orally, or in digital different formats. But we're all in the storytelling business. And so I encourage you, thank you so much for joining me and us today. Please follow me on LinkedIn. Just look me up, Alex Dixon. I'm also on Twitter, Alex Dixon NV, as well as Facebook, Alex F. Dixon. And I cannot wait to tell the great things about what we're doing here in Dubuque, Iowa, of what we've done in the past in Las Vegas, Nevada. And so I can't wait to keep in touch. And Ralph, thank you so much for engaging me and in opening up your doors to this great group of students. But you can do it. I'm excited for you. Push on. And I can't wait to see you on the other side.